It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bat.
It's a good man, the community. Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you. Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up, please. I'll make it enough. Sup, hot.
Tell him your name sent you. Sent you.
Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios.
It's That Podcast.
Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 18. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell them what's up.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling.
He's the boss.
Every day I'm hustling.
Until you Springsteen fans.
Every day I'm hustling.
This is the boss.
Hi, man. What's good?
Oh, man. It's all good. So we're going to talk about... I should touch real quick on the last episode. Hit the sports really hard. The entire hour. All sports. Sports. A little pro wrestling at the end. This week, we're going to talk about somewhat related to sports. Not really sports in general, but on Monday, May 14th, out of the blue, we were expecting a decision on this from the Supreme Court at some point. Now, anyway, it was ruled that the federal law that prohibits states from implementing sports gambling was declared unconstitutional.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
That's right. It was ruled unconstitutional, and now the states have the power to create their own laws about gambling, about sports gambling anyway. Now, I'm going to go back and fill in. New Jersey wanted to have sports betting. And
Chris Christie's the one that headed this up, right?
He absolutely was. And, you know, this court said nope. They appealed it. This court said nope. They went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court went, yep, we're good. Go ahead. It's unconstitutional. So there are many states, two off the top of my head, that are going to be ready to go within the next couple of weeks, maybe even around the time this airs. New Jersey will be ready to go. Monmouth Park, which is a racetrack in New Jersey, has said they can be ready in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Like, they've already designated the spots. I think they're just going to fill a sports bar that they have there and just put windows in, I believe, like betting machines.
Kiosks.
Maybe, but I think they're going to be like at a horse track where there's people actually entering in the picks.
Oh.
Like they do in Vegas.
Okay.
Like at a Vegas sports book.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but at Arlington, they have areas where you can go and like do it yourself with self-service ones.
Yeah, I'm sure they have that at Monmouth. I don't know if that's going to parlay over to sports.
Okay.
Necessarily.
All right.
But there's New Jersey is ready to go. West Virginia's damn close. So there's two, and then there's a bunch of other states, like 10, including Illinois, that have some legislation already in the system.
Yeah.
And then a bunch that are not even close. They haven't even done what Illinois has done. And then there's one state that will probably not have it at all, which will be Utah, because they have no gambling at all.
Right.
They don't have casinos. They don't have lotteries. They don't have any gambling, legal gambling in Utah.
I think I heard like Montana didn't want it either because they didn't have any, you know, they don't have its teams.
Yeah, maybe.
And
it's possible. Okay. But
it's straight revenue, right?
Yeah.
It's straight cash,
yes,
homie.
Yes.
I mean, why would you not?
Right. And we were talking on the way to the production meeting, there's still going to be bookies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Business bad? Fuck you, pay me. Oh, you had a fire? Fuck you, pay me.
Yep.
Place got hit by lightning, huh? Fuck you, pay
That's
me.
Right. That's right. And the reason why, it comes down to one word, credit.
Yeah.
All you got to do is call your bookie up and say, give me 50 on the Cubs. That's it.
You don't have to have the 50 on you.
Not
even in your bank.
Not even in your bank. Not nothing. You're just trying to make good with your $50 bet with your bookie. That's the reason why there's still going to be bookies. So there are a lot of things I've read that, this is going to get rid of illegal gambling. No, it's not. Mm-mm. Absolutely not.
No.
No.
But what it does do is it allows the people that maybe want a sports gamble that don't want to do it through a bookie, that don't want to do anything illegal, to do that, right? It allows it to now be legal. I honestly probably one of those people.
Right.
Right. Like I'm not going to sit there and wager hundreds of dollars on a game. That's ridiculous. But $10.
People do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. $10. If I have a really strong thing, sure. I want to be able to have the right to do that.
Right.
And not have to go through an offshore account and get a check from a pet supply store.
I was going to say, Joe, but they have legal ways to do this. You may not get your money for 8 weeks.
Right.
But...
And they're shady legal.
And no credit.
Correct.
You're paying up front.
Yep.
You're putting your credit card in there.
And these all take Bitcoin now too, by the way.
Yeah.
They'll take your Bitcoin. But yeah.
Thank God somebody does.
And I know of somebody, I won't reveal names or sources of these people, but... Like he'll get checks that are labeled from a party supply store.
It's Danny Parkins, isn't it?
It's not Danny Parkins.
Okay.
No, F that guy. But like from offshore accounts like Bovada or what's it? Three Dimes, I think it's called. Yeah, Three Dimes. No, Five Dimes. Three Dimes Down is the Drive-By Trucker song. There Five Dimes.
Okay.
Where you'll get it, or sportsbook.ag or whatever, where you'll get a check from, like I said, a party supply store or whatever, just to cover the fact that it's actually from an offshore book gambling account. And now you don't have to do any of that, right?
Right.
You just go and make your bet, which I'm good with. I don't have a problem with it at all. The only issue I have with it, and this is another thing we talked about on the way to the production meeting today, was the chronic gambler, right?
Yeah.
The person with the gambling problem.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, that person is not going to be affected by this.
No.
Because they're already doing it through a bookie.
They're finding a way.
They're already finding ways to do it. Now, does it make it easier for them? Maybe. But again, they have to have the cash to do it.
In hand. Right.
You can't go, give me $100 on the Cubs. They're going to go, give me $100. And then you're going to go, I don't have $100.
Right.
And then that's that. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm pro it. I'm for it 100%.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think it's a novelty. I don't think it's, like you said, exactly. I don't think it's going to change a thing.
No.
You know, like you said, people that normally don't gamble, that don't have a bookie or have a way to do that, they'll be at the park and they'll be like, oh, look at this. Oh, let's put 20 on the Cubs because we're here today. Yay.
Exactly.
Yay, Cubby.
And yeah.
Or whoever's playing the White Sox, put 21 on them.
Sure. I don't see this actually being a thing until it's mobile. If there's an app that you can go to.
Yeah.
And bet.
That's where you might run into problems.
Yeah, that's where the real money's coming, though.
Exactly correct. I think you're right.
And with that, you know, anybody that runs it is going to need their, just like anybody else is going to need their VIG, is going to need their little bit off the top.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay a premium.
Yeah.
So every $20 you bet, you're really only going to, you know, get back
$17.50
or something. There's going to be something.
And the issue with it is this. The leagues all want a cut of it.
No, there's one league out there, my friend.
Well, no, the NBA
That doesn't want anything to do with it. The Shield stood up and said, well, this is threatens the integrity of our game that we've had for years and years. Right. Really? Because billions are bet on it every year.
Every year. Illegally.
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 Office pools.
Right. Now, let's put this in a frame of reference in terms of Vegas, right? Because everybody's saying Vegas is this, that, and the other thing. RJ Bell on Twitter, if you look him up, he's a great follow on Twitter about Vegas things. He put out a list of the income, the revenue from various gambling games in a casino, right? So like, you know, craps, roulette, poker.
Hey! What's this lying around shit?
it's that, right? And here's how the revenue broke down, right? So sports betting had the same revenue as craps in Vegas. Roughly the same amount, like $34 million or something like that was the revenue from it.
Mm-hmm.
Slots were like $400 million. Like they were just through the roof, right? So in the big scheme of things, sports gambling really doesn't make the casino a whole lot of money as a rule. Now they've won. They haven't had a losing month in... I think I saw since 2009 or something like that. A losing revenue month.
Okay. Overall. Because that...
I'm sure they took a beating on a game or a week, or the NFL.
That the first time ever the 16 beat the 1 right. when Virginia went out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But overall. Ouch. But overall. So we're not talking... And their margins... 4%, 4.5%, 5% margin on their sports bets. And the NBA came out and said, we want 1%.
Wait, what?
Why would they do that? Why would the sport, A, why would the casino do that? And B, what leverage does the leagues have? Because they're doing it now without them.
Yeah.
Like, what leverage do they have?
Right.
None. You have no leverage at all to demand anything from it. Now, I can understand paying them a keep happy fee, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
Like just, okay, to appease you, we'll give you 0.1% or something, a tenth of a percent, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Some small amount, which is still going to be several million dollars.
Right.
Right. But for a league to come out and demand a full percent when the casinos are only making 4%, 5% on a sports bet, margin-wise, no. They're not going to do that. There's no incentive for them to do that.
Right.
They're going to do it. They're going to allow sports gambling whether whether the league cooperates or not. They're going to do it because they've done it for years. They've done it since the eternity, as long as it's been a thing.
If anybody is going to be able to figure out a way to make it fan friendly like that, it's going to be the NBA. Oh,
absolutely.
And they're going to make it accessible mobile. And they're going to make it where you can bet while you're watching the game, at the game, in the stadium, on your phone.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at...
And prop bets.
Yeah. That's the one thing that we talk about, too. Let's go to Europe for a minute and how... Because there it's 100% legal, right, to bet on whatever. The way they do it is... I mean, they have kiosks at the stadium.
Yeah.
Where you can... Just like at the track, where you can bet on your team to win or lose or whatever, or... Any other thing you want to bet on? In terms, they have kiosks at every stadium in, as far as I know, at every stadium in the EPL and the French league and Spanish league and the Bundesliga in Germany. As far as I know, you can bet on site. I believe. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I believe that to be the case. And there's gambling houses literally every corner in like England and the UK.
Really?
Oh yeah, Ladbrokes is everywhere.
So
these
like,
places are everywhere.
Like so OTBs.
They're basically like OTBs. Where you can walk in and make a sports wager. Now, will they allow that to happen? That's going to vary state to state, right?
Right.
In Illinois, which is kind of where I'm concerned with, I desperately want that to go to the racetracks. Now, the reason why, I'm a horse racing fan. I grew up like 15 minutes from Balmoral Park.
The Sulkies.
Yeah, the old Sulkies. And it's always had a soft spot for me. And I've watched... racing in Illinois deteriorate because other states around us have casinos, full-on casinos. Like Iowa has Prairie Meadows, Indiana, both the tracks there have full casinos. And they take that winnings, they take the casino money and put it in the purses for the horses. So all the people involved in the horse industry are all leaving Illinois because the money's in Indiana where the casinos are. So I would very much, and they've been trying to get slots in racetracks for years now because the casinos have cut them out. Like they had a deal with the casinos in Illinois where they would pay X amount into a pool, and then that money would be allocated to the tracks to make up for the fact that there were casinos. Like that was kind of a give and take with the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that, like all good things with money, right, that never got off the ground at all. So... The purses here have been lacking. So it'd be nice to see that sports gambling money allow... I mean, you can have your casino at the casinos. That's fine by me. I don't care. But also have it at racetracks to give them some money to go in and fight to get their business back.
Sure.
Because like Arlington, every year it's a proposition whether they're even going to run.
That's a shame.
It shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't be that way. It's such a nice facility.
It is gorgeous. And it sucks that they have to do that. But in the end, I'm not saying that sports gambling is going to save racing in Illinois necessarily, but it's certainly going to help if they're allowed to have them, which they should be, in my opinion. So that's my 2 cents worth on that.
On that.
My vig on that.
All right. Let's go back to the proposition of prop bets.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to pull that off here in the States.
Right? I mean, and could that actually affect play?
It might.
I mean,
it might. I mean,
as gambling in anything, there's always an angle.
Yeah, of course.
And how are you going to corner, I guess, that? And I mean, I've heard wild things like you would be able to sit in the stands and bet on a ball or a strike, or I mean,
yeah.
Now, when does that come down to? I mean, the only gambling scandal I can think of, the most recent, is the NBA.
Right, Donahue.
Right,
right.
And
I mean, I'm sure he's not the only one.
Right.
He can't be the only one. That's
And you know, I heard somebody say, oh, yeah, but he wasn't even doing it. He was having other people do it. Well, yeah, dumbass. That's how you do it.
Right.
You have somebody else make these bets.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I don't know. I mean, betting on somebody to go 1-for-4, 3-for-4, right,
exactly.
Golden Sombrero. I mean, what?
Now, I know this. There are casinos in Vegas. I don't know if all of them yet, but where you can bet real time, like for, I know they do it for basketball, where as every point happens, it generates a new line for the game. So like 5 minutes in, if it's 15 to 10, it'll generate a new line. Let's say the line was 6.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go, oh, the line is now 8.
Okay.
Or the over-under is 190 now instead of 180.
I got it. But being the novice that I am, if I got in at 6, I still get it at 6.
You get it whatever you bet it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Your bet doesn't change.
Right.
Right. That's why a lot of people wait till the last minute to bet football, because the lines move. And a team you may not take at 6, you know, giving 6 points, you may take giving 7 points or 5 points or whatever. Whatever you feel like.
7.5, the chair and the hook.
The little hook. That's right. That's right. But I hope I sincerely hope it's legal here in Illinois soon.
I think it would be fun. I'd do it as a lark. What the hell? You know what I'm saying?
Go out on a Saturday.
I don't deal with a bookie.
Right.
I'm not cool enough.
No, me neither. But, I mean, go out on a Saturday, have a couple Tucci drinks, watch a little something, and put a little something on it while you're watching it.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what they want.
Right.
That's exactly what they want.
Yeah. This isn't for hardcore people that are, you know, making and losing rent money and stuff like that.
I don't think so. I just think that the...
Because that's not going to change. Oh, really? That's legal now and this is still illegal? Well, it was illegal before, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Go fuck yourself.
And it's, like I said, the credit thing is huge. That's why I don't think illegal gambling is going to go away.
Right.
I can't. I don't see how. When you have people, give me 100 on this. And, you know, the state, like I said, you got to have 100 on you.
Right.
Like it doesn't work on credit. It's cash only, so...
Yeah. And Granny taking her Social Security check down there, she's putting in the slots anyway. That's not going to sports gambling.
No, absolutely not.
So.
Right. Yeah. No. Granny's going to go play the Wild Buffalo or whatever the fuck it's called. Yeah.
On the Casino Queen.
Correct.
Where it smells like BO despair and Hormel chili.
That's what the Paradise Casino smells like.
Oh,
smells God. Like, smells like, well, back then smoking was allowed. It was before the Clean Air Act. So you walk in there, it smells like Depends and cigarettes.
And Salem's.
And Salem's. That's right, Lenny. 83. That's right. Yeah.
I almost missed the smoke, man. It covered up that other damp old
Indiana
people
casino,
smell.
Indiana casinos, you can still smoke.
That's right, Chicago. Gotta feed the kids.
Well, speaking of that voice, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about John Fox for a minute. He signed as an analyst.
Oh.
Can you imagine, you turn on your Sunday thing, you're getting ready for football.
So boom, instead of Gruden,
it's the Cowboys tight end, Witten, Jason Witten.
Okay.
Yeah, that booth is now, Tessitore is doing play-by-play.
Gene?
Yeah, Gene. No.
Yeah. That's Sarator.
That's Sarator.
Sorry. Oh.
It's Tessitore, it's Witten. And I forget the others. It's now a 4-man booth, which I don't know why. It should be just 2 people. You should have an analyst and you should have the play-by-play guy. That's the way a booth should be. It shouldn't be 3 guys, 4 guys. It should be 2.
Right.
But at any rate, so John Fox was hired as an analyst at, I forget which one. I think it's ESPN. It's either ESPN or Fox, believe it or not. So when you tune into your Sunday broadcast, you have your beverage, you get your breakfast, right? You're sitting there having a little something, and all of a sudden you're, yeah, I want to do this. Yeah, we should. They got to run the football more. Saquon, you got Saquon Barkley. Got to run that football. Yeah, no. He's Principal McVicker from Beavis and Butthead. That's John Fox. Yeah.
It is ESPN.
It is ESPN, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. No, and I'm glad it's on ESPN. We talked about this before.
Well, right.
Glad, because neither of us watch ESPN pregame.
Well, Tommy doesn't even watch the NFL anymore.
Tommy goes, who's...
He gave up after John Stallworth left the league.
That's right. Once Lynn Swann retired, that was it.
That was it for him.
That's it.
Yeah, I just think this is the funniest fucking thing to me. John Fox and Jay Cutler, two people that gave shitty interviews. They are terrible in a press conference. And right. now they're analysts on my television.
Right. Now, on ESPN during the week, Rex Ryan, I believe, is an analyst. Hey, which is fine.
Look at those feet.
Right. Oh, I love your feet. But at least he gave good pressers.
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
he can talk.
Yeah, he was an interesting cat.
The guy can talk.
Sure.
Gruden got the rap down.
He did.
Right? For sure.
But let me tell you, Joe, this kid.
Yeah, this kid here, let me tell you. He threw it in the flat. Who do you think are Joe
Jack? This Buck? Guy, that guy.
Oh my God. But anyway, yeah.
But so it was interesting. I watched it when he was on.
Yeah, for sure. And John Fox is just, I can't, one of the worst interviews. No information, no willing.
You know what? And supposedly supposedly it was, he's a Belichickian. He doesn't tell you anything. He's not going to give anything away to the media. Well, that's what we're going to find out.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll find out when he's an analyst, but I can't imagine that going well.
Because people would go to practices and be like, what the hell does this guy do? Oh, no, don't you worry about it. He's a wizard on Sundays.
He's a genius.
On the sideline, that's where he gets it all done.
Genius.
Hey, look, he was running around like an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like John Fox at all.
No.
For what he did to my team. Fuck you.
Right.
Idiot.
Yeah, but you know what? When I heard we were getting him, I'm like, oh, a real coach.
I was happy.
Finally.
Yes.
Yay.
I know.
Yay.
Yeah. And we go back and hire another assistant, which is fine.
Yeah.
Who's never coached in the NFL before. Head coach, I should say. It is what it is.
It is.
You know, Nagy's all right. It is what it is. We'll find out. We'll find out when the old ball goes in the air on September 9, I believe, is opening day.
Yeah, with the Packer.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, back to gambling.
Yep.
So the NFL is not going to participate? I mean, right now it's going to be baseball, the NBA, and the NHL.
The NFL will have no choice. They have no say in it. They have no leverage.
Okay.
None. Zero.
Okay.
Because Vegas, you can go to Vegas and bet an NFL game
for
the last 50 years.
Right.
It doesn't matter what they say.
Okay.
Quite frankly.
Now,
they have no leverage.
This is none. This is something that we'll have to research. I want to know. Whose business model is this? Who's getting in on this? I mean, because it seems to me that established casinos already should be the ones that are doing these kiosks.
I mean,
we should be running the bets through Bally's.
Yes. What they're going to do is there are gambling companies that are going to run these things for sure. The state's not going to run it.
No.
They're going to hire somebody to run it, right?
Right.
The biggest bookmaker.
Because there's your corruption right there.
Right. The biggest bookmaker in the United States is William Hill. They're actually based in England, but they have the most sports books in Nevada. They're chomping at the bit, I'm sure, to get in, right? And like Caesars, Harrah's is Caesars, but Caesars and all the casinos in Vegas, I'm sure, want a piece of it. Also, the European houses, I sure want to come in, like Ladbrokes.
Wow.
Like all every casino gambling stock went up that day. All.
Wow.
Because
nobody knows who's going to get it. Okay.
Nobody knows who's going to get what.
All right.
And then I read an article last night about what does this mean for online poker? Could this be a way in for states to now be able to offer online poker? Because there's states that do. New Jersey's one. I think New York is one. And obviously Nevada. they all allow online poker. And actually, they've commingled the pool player pools from Nevada and New Jersey. So now somebody in New Jersey could be playing somebody from Nevada online poker.
Now, are they getting a significant piece of that?
They get a cut.
Yeah.
I don't know what the cut is.
Okay.
That I don't know. But gambling houses are lining up now. You know, now it's on.
Because the real money on this is going to be made not on the actual bet. It's around everything around it. If you were going, let's say...
It's like going to the movies.
Right. But if you want to... My specific gambling house that's running this particular kiosk, what if I say you have to be a member to use it? What if I'm going to charge you $25 a year just to have the privilege to use my kiosk?
Or sports bars.
Right. Like a touch tune situation.
For sure. Or their money's going to be made by bringing people in to buy the alcohol, which is at a very high margin. Sports betting isn't going to make them a lot of money.
No.
Like their cut of it isn't going to be huge, I don't think. I mean, it could be a difference maker. It's possible. Slots in Illinois have been a difference maker.
Yes.
You can see the good thing about the state of Illinois is that they're very upfront about even how much each gambling house makes. So, for example, I could go online, my local bar in Coal City, I could look and see how much they made in revenue.
Wow.
The state has it.
There's
a PDF. You can look for it and find it. It's everything.
That's interesting.
Well, so I've got it. You know what the revenue is? I don't know what the profit is, but the total revenue is there.
I know a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
That owns a bar, and his machines, on an average month, gets him $5,000.
Yeah.
Off the top.
Yeah.
And for a bar that's not bringing in a lot of people drinking, that's carrying you.
That's the difference between being open and not being open.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Now the bar I go to is packed. Not packed, but it's got a good clientele. A lot of people go there. So this is just gravy money for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just additional revenue.
Right.
That's it. I mean, it doesn't make the difference between him staying open and not staying open. He's got that down already, right?
Right.
It's the difference between retiring now or retiring in 5, 7, 8 years.
Well, and completely selfishly, I immediately thought, well, is it pissing you off, though? Is it harder to get a seat in there now because there are people in there? Okay. See, then it doesn't even bother you.
No, it's not, Chief.
It's
not that busy, but there are days where it gets that busy.
Right.
Especially on the weekends when it's nice out and all
the time. Well, I'll need some beer.
That's right. I will need some beer at some point. But in summary, I'm glad this happened.
You don't think it's going to be a major problem?
I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't think it is.
And you said Jersey could be shovel ready in 2 weeks.
Jersey could be taking bets by the time this podcast airs.
Okay.
And they probably will be.
How long is it going to take Illinois then?
That's a good question. I know there's legislation already in the system, drafted, like in committees. And
right.
So it's there.
The political chess match we have in Illinois with a Republican governor and a Democratic leader of the House,
and Speaker Congress, everything. Yeah, the House is it's quite the. Now the elections are coming up. They got to have it in sooner than later. Like they got to really put the pedal down and make this happen.
Right,
because the state is really hurting for revenue. Really hurting for revenue right now. Any additional revenue they can get from it, they're going to get. And the sooner they do this, the absolute better it'll be for the state.
But
quicker their coffers fill up.
Yeah, I hear that. But we also know how ridiculous this particular government we have is in the state of Illinois.
It's atrocious.
And how they will want to use it like, and I almost don't even want to say political football. But
it's going to be. We'll do this if you do this.
Right. But no, it's more, I don't want you to get credit for it.
Right.
Yeah. And so does that automatically screw us? I mean, we're going to have to go through the election before we even start talking about this for real?
Drive to Indiana.
Yeah.
Or drive to Wisconsin. Because I think those are two states that have something like us, that have a little something on the books. But
Wisconsin would be fun.
Yeah, Wisconsin would be fun. But again, it behooves the state, you know, to get this through and start collecting that money.
Yeah.
Regardless of what side, and you're right, it could become, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Illinois, it is almost 99%. You do this for me, well, I got, you know, you're gonna, I'm gonna have to do this. But if you want me to do this for you, you need to do something for me. It's never a one-sided transaction. Right. There's always gonna be, oh, you're gonna let, or you're gonna allow me to have sports gambling here. Okay, but I want this much money to build a road, or I want this much money for my schools, or I want, it's never just for the good of the state.
No.
Right. It's always a trade-off.
More often than not, it's Chicago.
It's Chicago versus the Illinois.
South. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what it is in the state. It's the way it is.
And anybody that lives in Chicago knows that south of I-80 is Kentucky. And
where we live.
Where I live.
I live too. I live south of 80.
I grew up being that kid. I used to.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
But, you know, hey. But it's a secret. It's mature. Nice down here. It is. Go fuck yourself. Stay up
right there.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But at any rate, I hope they for the sake of the state and the state of horse racing in the state and the inevitably, you know, our neighbors getting it and us not having it kind of thing. We should be jumping on this.
Yeah.
This
is something the state
really needs to jump on.
I'm gonna go out on a limb now and say that Madigan's not gonna let Rauner have this before the election.
You might be right.
If Rauner wins, then they'll acquiesce and they'll have to do it then. Yep. But I think they're gonna hold out and to see if Pritzker wins and it's a Democratic governor and a Democratic.
Then it'll definitely go through.
Yes.
In like 5 minutes.
Yes.
Because Pritzker, above all, he's a businessman.
He's an asshole.
And he's an asshole. That is probably overall, but yeah.
Oh, they again,
and again, they.
It's funny because he's fat.
The parties involved have given us nothing to vote for. Again.
Oh.
Welcome to Illinois.
Man, talk about rich people problems.
I wish.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, I hope it happens sooner than later.
All right, man. Well, yeah. We can put the hat on gambling.
Yeah, man. Bet you we can't.
Thank you, Zach.
You're
Zayman.
Welcome.
We're doing a show concert trip coming up.
Yeah, we
here.
Are. A little band field trip, July 11th.
Tommy put together something where.
Good job, Tommy.
Got tickets for us all to see Matthew Sweet.
Oh, it's gonna be great.
Who we were big fan. Well, I was a big fan of
me
back
too.
In the 90s.
For sure.
Interested to see kind of what he sounds like now.
Yeah.
More interested to see the songs that I liked back then.
I know. Can you please play
right?
Divine Intervention, please?
Thank yes.
You. Thank you. Can you play Where You Get Love? Can you play Someone to Pull the Trigger? That'd be great. Thanks. Play Girlfriend. Get the fuck off stage. Thanks. Yeah, bye. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
And, I'm kidding.
And Tommy, even though Tom got the tickets, he also gave us fair warning that the new album's good.
Yep.
It's not great.
It's not great. That was the review.
So Joe and I did a little quick preview of it before the episode, and he's absolutely right.
100% of the ball is usually
we
is.
Counted. Good job, let's see here. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. There's like 18, 19 songs on here, and eight of them are really good.
Eight of them are good stuff.
So,
so he's right. It's
a little better than half.
Yeah,
not great.
Good. Not great.
Good.
I'm looking forward to it. It was like we talked about this before we hit record, when we went to go see Sunvolt.
Right.
Sunvolt, the new album's pretty good. It's not great, but they only play like 4 tracks off it. They know that people came to see Drown.
Right?
They know what people paid for.
And I don't know if it comes with age or just the number of shows that I've seen, but it's really kind of how I break it down now. I mean, there's 4 songs I really pretty much need to hear when I go see somebody. Yeah. And if I get those 4, the rest is gravy.
Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes it'll be 1 song that I just absolutely have to hear. And if I get that, then that's, you know, I'm through the roof.
Right. Yep.
And as a youngster and before this service was available, it was all a gamble. You know, you would want to see who you wanted to see. And, and pray to God they were having a good night and they're not just playing for a paycheck.
Yep.
And, you know, looking on down the road.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you see somebody around here, being in a smaller metropolitan area, Chicago is the big draw.
Yep.
So somebody's either on their way there or they're coming back.
Correct.
And, you know, are they excited about going to Chicago and will you get to see a good show because they're excited? Or are they coming back through and they're happy to be headed home and be excited?
Or St. Louis is another destination. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, here's an example. We saw a band, I won't reveal their name, who spent the entire day.
Drive by Truckers? No.
No.
Oh.
The entire day at the Cubs game.
Oh. Reckless Kelly?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, fine. You said it.
Reckless Kelly. They were hammered.
They were hammered. They spent they went to a day game at Wrigley and then got in the
and
bus.
They sang
the national anthem. And, then
and
they,
the stretch.
And they played.
Yeah.
And they played at Bloomington that night.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's from Chicago, it's a 2-hour drive, roughly.
Right.
Ballparky. So that's fine. But they played a good show. They were great. They didn't come in for a paycheck. They were fantastic.
That was fantastic.
It was a great show. But it goes to show that there's priorities involved. Chicago is the place to be, right?
Right.
Now it's great to see, like my avatar photo on Instagram is of the Castle Theater marquee for that one weekend where it was Drive by Truckers. Oh, I don't remember the
name. St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
St. Paul and the Broken Bones. It was right around my birthday too, and there was one of them. It'll come to me. But anyway, that's the marquee. And that's the kind of shows you get down here during the summer.
Right.
It's pretty cool. Like Steve Earle's playing down here.
Right.
Matthew Sweet is playing, obviously. We're going to that show. John Hyatt played here.
And several times.
We've seen Isbell there twice. We've seen
And Sunbolt the Castle there. It's a nice venue. It's a nice theater.
It is. They redid the inside and it's fairly new-ish. Like it's modern. I'll say that. And they have Schlitz Tallboys. So there you go.
Okay. I guess that's where I was going earlier. Where you'd roll the dice. You'd pick out somebody you want to see and you'd go see them and you'd hope for the best.
Right.
Now with Setlist FM, I track people on tour. I look at and see how many times they play the exact same set.
Right.
I look to see in what areas they put in different songs or, you know, on special nights they would play something different. And then having that knowledge, I'm really never disappointed when I go see somebody because I pretty much know what they're going to play. And if you get something that's not, hasn't been played before, it's like an Easter egg, you know?
Yeah.
And you get really,
because there's bands like, I'll throw Rush as an example, who play the exact same songs for an entire tour in the exact same order.
Yeah.
Simply because there's lighting and
Involved. Yeah.
It, right.
You've got to dial it all up. You can't just randomly.
No. That's what the encore is for. Like the encore, they'll maybe do a different song during the encore, but during the show, it's the set list.
Right.
And then there's bands.
But that's a big production.
There's a band like Pearl Jam who changed the playlist almost every night, but there's a playlist, written down playlist.
Right.
We did this song, this song, this song, this song, this song. Reckless Kelly's a lot like that too. Then there's bands like Drive-By Truckers.
Yeah.
They don't even know what they're playing.
Right.
They just come out.
And whatever they feel like.
And who's starting? Oh, it's a Mike Cooley song. Okay, boom, go. And it's Carl Perkins Cadillac, first song.
Right.
And then Point to Patterson, one of yours, go. And they don't even know what they're going to play that night. Because they go back, they go on the experience of what worked and what didn't work in previous shows.
Right.
And there's pros and cons to all that.
Right.
Like
because it'll catch you. Because
like when we saw them at Castle.
They had two false starts.
Yeah, exactly. Because there were new songs they didn't quite know them.
Right.
They were probably a little drinky or whatever.
Yeah. And I believe Cooley said, hey, fuck you, it happens.
Right, exactly.
All right, okay.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Right. And it's, I like the different set list every night, but having a set list.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it lends itself to creativity about what song goes where. You can plan it out a little better. Like this song could lead in this song, could lead in this song. Drive-By Truckers, you got to, and not only that, but like when you're DBT, you got to have your songs down.
Yeah. Well, that catalog is so extensive.
Right. Like you can pull a song off Gangsta Billy, you know, like for Church. Boom. Like we're playing it. Here we go.
Right.
Or, you know, Wife Beater or whatever.
So the Sidemen better have that down.
Yep.
Not having to play any Isbell songs kind of makes it a little bit easier. It makes it
a lot easier. Yeah, you rule out like, I don't know, 10, 12 songs.
Yeah.
That are hits.
They're top.
Probably songs. Yeah.
By
the way, sidebar.
Yeah.
On Sound Opinions, which is a music show on Chicago Public Radio, but it's also a podcast. They had Jason Isbell on, and they interviewed him for like half an hour. And he played three songs. So I recommend going. It's on Apple Podcasts. Look up Sound Opinions. go through the episodes, and I think it's one from early April, and Jason Isbell's on it.
And I don't like those guys.
I don't either.
And I don't know if it's because I'm jealous that I would want that to be my job so much that the fact that they get to do it, I think they're idiots. I don't know. It may be a me thing that way.
My opinion of it is they're too smart. They want to be the smartest guy in the room.
Okay. I get that a little bit, except they put out a Beatles versus Stones book.
Yeah.
Not
too long. And Greg Kot wrote a Wilco book, which is fantastic.
There were like errors in it.
Probably.
And how does that happen? I mean, and I hear my associate producer right now going, "You dumbass, you say the wrong thing all the time."
Right. But it's not written down for eternity. You can come back and go, you know, it's,
right.
We can go back next week and go,
It's Greg Kot and Jim DeRogatis, right? Yeah. Okay. And I can't remember which one I hate more.
I don't like DeRogatis.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I don't mind, both of them are a little too
high fidelity.
But they don't seem to know their stuff, and that's what gets me. It's like they read about it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I'm describing us again.
But no,
it's like they read about what happens and then tell it to people.
Right. But I mean, music wise, not me. I'm not going to speak on something I don't
know. No, but I'm talking about sports on this. Like where if I we can't watch every game, obviously, but
I get all my sport by osmosis because it's just where I work.
Right.
You just, it's constantly 10 hours a day.
Right.
Pumped into you about what's going on in terms of this game, that game. Because we have TVs all over the office and different people are watching different things. And it's just kind of, you just kind of glean it all. You kind of just shave the skim off the top, so to speak.
Yeah. And all right, I'm going to have to call myself out again on this because we try to be truly transparent give zero fucks and everything else that we tell you guys all the time.
Zero fucks.
About being 100% authentic. I have listened to some more Bernstein and Connor McKnight, and I really like Connor McKnight.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be able to last whatever happens with this show, how they're going to transfer him into the next slot, whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought about it and I'm like, why do I like this kid so much? And then I realized he's very bright. He's very smart. He has a lot of knowledge outside of sports that he'll bring in and share. Mm-hmm. And he's not a dick about it,
right?
Which is what I always had with Bernstein. Yeah. I mean, when I first started listening, I'm like, oh, the dumbass callers don't like him because he's smart. And, but no, that's not it.
That's not it at all.
You can be smart and not be an asshole. And there's
Goff.
Well, and see, and I was going to go there too. Yeah. Goff and Spiegel and Lawrence are smart, but they're more like worldly and street smart than they are academically or book smart.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Which is what you're getting from McKnight and Bernstein. And I thought it was a horrible pairing because I was like, you're taking a guy that, you know, was everybody's punching bag when Terry was here and then put in a younger version of him. How the hell is that going to work?
I don't know.
But McKnight doesn't take any of Bernstein's shit. He calls him on stuff all the time.
Yep.
You can hear him roll in his eyes at things, and that makes it genuine to me. So,
and I
don't tune in. It's not appointment radio for me. Right. But if I'm in the car and ESPN has a commercial, I will flip over.
Right. So, I have said on this very podcast, I would never listen to the score again.
Correct. You took it off your radio.
It is off my presets.
Yes.
It is not on there at all.
There you go.
But I will say this: Sunday mornings, kind of like hit and run.
Oh,
I'm always like it's Barry Rosner and Joe Ostrowski. Those
you know what? Guys. Barry Rosner and Blank.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
So I may like if a Sunday where like this Sunday I'm going to the Sox game because I'm working it. I'll probably turn them on.
Sure.
But in terms of the regular lineup,
no,
I have no desire to do that.
Yeah, and
I try to find as many podcasts as humanly possible to listen to
get away from
to get away from ESPN
that or music
or right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's it. I don't... ESPN 1000, they're good guys, but it's just, they're not... It's not the score. Just not. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because it's really tough to listen to, quite frankly. So I'm glad I have...
No shot.
And also good that the podcasts I do listen to are super long.
Yeah.
Like
those wrestling ones, man. You were telling me 3-4 hours?
Yeah. On one topic.
Jesus.
Yeah. so I can listen to them on the way to work and back home and yeah, still have
you can
more
keep,
time.
You can keep that.
I will. I'm good. I'll gladly keep that.
Okay.
Yeah. Jose knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
And my podcasts are primarily true crime or comedy. Yeah. Those are the ones that I get down with. Yep. And the longest one of those is 2 hours. Yeah. But, I appreciate that too.
I mean, routinely, like the Bruce Pritchard one is routinely 3+ hours.
Oof.
On one topic.
Jesus.
But like I tried to explain though, it's
a history, right?
It's a history.
They're telling a story. They're laying out what the legend is.
Right.
And then the guy that was actually there goes, bullshit, that's not what happened. This is what happened.
Yeah. If you want one like that, like I pumped them on.
That was the Bischoff one, right?
The current Bischoff one. They've done 3 episodes and all 3 of them are killer. The last one was about Bret Hart.
Oof.
And they pulled excerpts from Bret Hart's book.
Dead, right?
Bret Hart alive.
Oh. Brother dead.
Brother dead.
Fell from the ceiling.
Fell from the ceiling.
Jesus.
Yes, that's brutal. That's a whole other subject. But
oof.
They took excerpts from Bret Hart's book saying, oh, well, Eric said this or I met Eric here. Almost all of them were bullshit. Eric's bullshit was like, that never happened. That never happened.
Yeah, but then you got to trust him. You know what I'm saying?
Because the thing that is predominant about Bret Hart is that Bret Hart looks out for Bret Hart. He's going to do everything in his power to make himself look good, even at the expense of others.
Oh, even Jim the Anvil Neidhart? Why don't we take that offline?
The point I'm trying to make is calling bullshit on people. That's the one thing I like about these. Like, you know, hey, the rumor is that this happened and this happened, this happened.
And you're like, that's the way I've always heard it.
And Bruce Pritchard will confirm or deny. He'll go, yeah, that's kind of how it happened. Or, nope, here's what really happened.
That's the way I heard it.
Or like Bischoff, every 5 minutes out of his mouth, every time Conrad would read off a fact from Bret Hart's book, Bischoff's like, bullshit. Bullshit. That's bullshit. That never happened. Bullshit. It's just like, oh my God, dude.
Well, in addition to trying to bring you guys newer things that we're getting into on YouTube and podcast, new music. We haven't talked new music for a while.
Yeah.
Joe's heard a lot about a young lady named Sarah Shook.
Yep.
Out there in.
She's on Bloodshot Records, which is always a good label. They always have the kind of music we like to listen to on Bloodshot.
Lydia Loveless, my girl, is on Bloodshot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and he told me today he hadn't heard much of her. So I had her on, one of the, playlists I've got on Spotify there's a little bit. Yeah. Sarah Shook and the Disarmers.
One more dance with the devil.
I like this song.
One more shot of whiskey.
I think it's, this is right up my alley. I'm looking forward to maybe downloading this list on the way home. Yeah, for sure. This is all good.
Right in the wheelhouse, baby.
Yeah, for sure, man. You like this. She was just in Chicago, I think. Yeah. Even this year. I think probably if we want to go see her, we can't because she's already returned.
Right. But and the thing about people that are on Bloodshot is they do stay relatively regional. So
yeah,
Hogan plays in Kansas City all the time.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Bloodshot Records is based in Chicago, so like, all their artists tend to hang out in Chicago quite a bit.
All right, man, that's Sarah Shook.
Yeah, recommend that for sure.
I had another one, and this isn't a new song; it's new to me. This is Matt Hill and the Deep Fried 2.
Deep fried.
The sound of the guitars in this is the sound of the guitar that I try to get in everything I've ever played.
Sounds like a Gretsch. Right?
It does.
It's got that kind of twangy staccato feel to it.
Right. But it's got the Stones distortion from 72. So it's it's either a single coil trying to sound like a humbucker or it's
for sure
two humbuckers.
Yeah. Like that a lot. That's good too. Good stuff.
And that's kind of how I felt about my life and my the jobs that I've had the last 6 to 8 years.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll have an episode coming up here before too long where I, I'll fill you cats in on what's happened in my life.
Yeah.
Recently.
It's interesting.
Which is pretty cool. So, pretty and you know, I'm thinking maybe a lot of people can relate to it.
Yeah.
So we'll go there, not this week, but down the road.
Yeah, for sure.
Listen to that solo, man. Yep. Doesn't it sound like something I play? It
sounds like you'd absolutely play this. Yes. True. True story. For sure.
And then Fats kicks it.
And then, right. And then, yeah, exactly.
All right. Something else in this playlist that's pretty good. Another guy I liked a lot. That's put out a couple of albums and started to get some traction. His song Northside Gal was a big hit maybe 4 or 5 years ago. JD McPherson.
Oh, yeah.
But he had an album come out late last year. And he's a three-piece. He's a drummer. He's a stand-up bass or electric bass. Mm-hmm. And then him.
Yep.
So it's clean. It's vintage, but has a new, bit of a new
the production on it's new.
Yeah.
The vocals are way too clean for it to be vintage.
Right. Even though he normally doesn't put any effects on his voice, but he's going through a little bit of a...
There's something on his voice.
A little something on.
Clean it up. Very little reverb.
The hook on this is that harmonic tap. Well, I guess it's not a harmonic tap, but...
Harmonic.
This part of the... Hardest
one I was yeah. It's good. It's real good. You know, there's going to be an episode, by the way, of this very podcast where we will play our music.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, it will. Maybe, down the road.
Yeah, down the road.
The other thing I want to do is, and maybe this
and
is
we can play, and the thing is about, not to interrupt you, but.
No, it's fine.
We can play the whole song.
Yeah.
They're ours.
Right.
So we don't have to go, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't play that much of it or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. No, we can play the whole damn song. We can just drop them in, talk about them, drop it in, go to the next. You know what I mean? Like we can edit, use radio magic to...
To take you there.
To take you there. And we can play the whole song. It's ours. So
that is a good point.
Yeah. And we can use radio magic or podcast magic, I guess it would be, right? Not radio magic. I wish it was radio magic. It'd be fun.
And I this is kind of where I want to go here. And maybe this is the episode that we do this, but you know, people have reached out and said that they like when we've shared, you know, newer things and I want to hear what you guys are listening to.
Yeah.
I mean,
please.
I'm guessing that if you are listening to this, you are very similar to us.
I would think so.
And we would love to hear what you're watching on YouTube, what takes you down the rabbit hole that keeps you up from 11 to 3 watching either documentaries or, you know, things on music or sports or whatever it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Share those with us. Tell us what you're listening to now.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I know Jose listens and I haven't
gotten
any new music out of that kid for, you know, 15 years, 20 years.
Right.
So I need
so
new
Jose,
stuff.
Get with it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Jesus. Just kidding. but yeah, it's, there's very few feelings for me than hearing something for the first time and being blown away by it. Right. Like this, like the Sarah Shook song you played.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, now we're talking. Yeah. Because when you hear a song, the first, I mean, the impression comes off right off the bat, right?
It does.
Either you like it or you don't.
Oh,
in the first 10 seconds, you're like, this sucks. This is good.
Do you remember going into CD stores and, you know, like listening to things at listening stations, either used ones or whatever?
Yeah.
And that's how I do it, man.
Yeah.
A song would get 5 seconds. If I'm hooked right away, I'm moving on to the next one.
Yeah. Because Headless was like that, where we listen to an album, we get, you know, sample, like the labels send you.
Sure.
Copies.
Yeah, I'm talking about more as a consumer,
but
I worked at Rose Records and did the same thing.
Yeah, you just listen to it, you're like, yeah, this sucks. Next.
Yeah.
Next. This sucks. Boop, boop, boop. You know, yeah, for sure. And that's Spotify affords you that now.
It does.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like we sat here before we rolled tape on this one that, and we listened to Matthew Sweet thing. We just went, it's just like a quick little run through of each song. Yeah, it's like, meh, good, great. Sounds awesome. Want to hear more of that. That sucked. off the rails. You feel the mood of the song.
Right. You know where it's going. Yeah. You know what he's trying to do.
Right.
And that guy especially, because I guess I could compare him to Tom Scholz. Because if there's anybody that sits in their basement and tries to find a sound or a feeling or whatever.
Maybe it's more than a feeling. Like a, more than a feeling, maybe?
You can keep that too.
Thank you.
all right. You got me.
I did.
No, but they're like mad scientists almost. Yeah. I mean, that's this guy's job is to try to find hooks, and it's different. I mean, that's not how I write, so
no,
it's much more academic.
Well, Isabel told the story, not any spoilers on the podcast, but he told a story about the last song they talked about was If We Were Vampires on Natural Sound, and he's like, I was actually sitting watching an episode of Hoarders. Like, I love the show Hoarders for some reason. And I was sitting there watching an episode of Hoarders, and my wife comes up to me and goes, you know, you're going to the studio in the next couple of days. You better go write a song. And he's like, yeah, you're right. Shut the Hoarders off, went to the studio. And he had been working on this chord, the chord progression of the song. And he's like, yeah, I just worked on this chord progression. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. And got the music down and then realized, you know, what am I going to write this about? And he goes, there have been too many love songs about what you are to somebody. This is the chord progression he was talking about. Yeah, in the song. So, and he's talking about, and he starts thinking like, okay, what are we not instead of what we are? Like, you know, lovers and whatever, friends, best friend, whatever. What are we not?
It's not the long flowing dress that you're in.
And Jason goes, well, it's not this or this or this that draws me to you. It's this,
right? Right. And also that it's not going to last forever.
Right. Because one of you is going down. That's the way humans are, man. We die eventually. You just hope that you live a long and prosperous life and not end it prematurely. Yeah. I don't know about you. Yeah.
Goosebumps, man.
I don't know about you, but like, it's questions of your own mortality.
And your love for somebody else.
Right. Right. Like, this is a generational song. Right?
Right.
And he didn't. And when you write them, you don't. You know they're good. But you don't know if they're like this. Right?
Yeah, you know, the only person I've ever heard make that statement was Noel Gallagher.
Yeah.
When he said he knew the song was going to be a hit before he even wrote it. He said, right. I sat
the
down.
The idea. Just the concept of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is going to be a hit. And before it even had a melody or words or anything, he just. So, but you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you think that every time you wrote a song, right?
And that's the way that Jason thinks. Jason Isbell thinks that way. He's like, I just try to write the best song I can write every time I write a song. They asked him about, what song that? If We Were Vampires. White Man's Blues on his latest album. They asked him, was that a hard song to write? Because you got to make sure you say it the right way. And he's like,
or you're going to piss a bunch of people off.
Right. And he's like, yeah, like every song's hard. For it to be good, it has to be hard to him.
Well, and I will say this. I mean, I joked about Matthew Sweet and Tom Scholz being mad scientists.
Yeah.
Isbell is probably... He's certainly our generation's greatest poet, but he's probably one of our greatest writers. And because he revises so much, he will write a song and then go back and see what I can take out. What can I take out? Where's the fat? What's X?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What don't I need?
And that's where his relationship with Dave Cobb, the producer in Nashville, comes in. Like, they have a synergy where Dave Cobb can tell him, that's great. Keep that. Do this way. Do this that way. This is the beginning for White Man's World. And just point at him and just go, yeah, that's good. Why don't we do this way? Like, there's a video on YouTube of, look up Jason Isbell making of 24 Frames. And it you can see their relationship, like, instantly. You're like, and Jason goes, I could put a bridge in here. I have a bridge written, but maybe it doesn't need it. And Dave Cobb's like, no, it doesn't need it. Doesn't need it.
You know how hard it is to find somebody that you trust enough to do that with?
Yeah.
I mean, that's this guy's... living his legacy, everything, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And to trust somebody, it's like we talk about all the times with great bands. A lot of times, one of the best talents of that band will leave and go solo, mm-hmm. and completely suck because there's nobody there to tell them no.
Right.
They will do whatever they want and think, oh, this is great. In the band, they would have fought me on this.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, well, they fought me on it because it didn't work.
It sucked.
Yeah.
Right. And Jason
Lindsey Buckingham.
That's right. And Jason Isbell goes back and talks about DBT. They asked him briefly about it. And he's like, I wrote songs when I was in that band for that band. For three guitars. I didn't write songs I necessarily, I would play by myself. I was in a band. I wanted to get my stuff on the album. I'm not going to write something for myself. That's why TVA, one of our favorite Jason Isbell songs, never made it on a DBT album. Because that's more... That was more him,
right?
Than it
was. But how is Outfit not him? You know what I mean,
right?
I mean,
or Decoration Day,
right?
Where he tells a story about Decoration Day and how his uncle, like his, it came from real life experience. It wasn't just like a Hatfield and McCoy, and he changed the names. It was a real thing that happened. That's the way a lot of his songs are.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We really do hope you enjoyed it.
Can you do something for me, Joe?
I can do whatever you like. What do you want?
Sorry, pal. We're going to have to do this later. But could you do me a favor? Could you have a great day? Could you do that for me?
That's right.
Thanks.
Hit us up on Twitter, please.
Yeah, let us know what you're listening to, what you're watching.
Let us know, man. At Triple Indies, that's me on Twitter. Jason is at J, the letter, Sleet Shirley, all one thing, no spaces or dashes. You can hit us up on facebook.com/itsthatpod, and you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and also from the Podbean app. itsthatpodcast.podbean.com.
And as these things come in, we'll compile them and put them all together and then share them with you, so everybody will get to hear everybody's
things.
Please let
us know, and we'll put it up on Spotify. We'll make a public playlist and be done with it. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. We enjoyed making it. We'll see you next time. It's That. Go!